What is the duty which God requireth of man? The duty which God requireth of man is obedience to his revealed will.
In question 39, we come to what amounts to the second major section of the Catechism. So, at the beginning of the Catechism, we have the first two questions are kind of introductory questions that are setting the scope of where we're going with the whole Catechism. And when you get to the third question, let me just remind you, the answer is the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. And so from question 3 through question 38, it's telling us what we're to believe concerning God. So we heard about the character of God and the works of God, which included his creation and his providence and his redemption. Now it's turning to the second part of question 3, the duty that God requires of man. So from question 39, another 50 questions or so, we're going to have the second of three major sections of the Shorter Catechism. Here the question is, what duty is it that God is requiring of us? And it's another way of saying, what kind of obedience is the Lord requiring? And obedience is required of the Christian, both because God is the Creator, and we're merely creatures, so He owns us, right? We have duties, responsibilities that belong to our relationship to Him because He's the one who actually owns us, and He's also the King, and we are His servants. And as servants, we have to both know and do our duty. So what is the duty that the Lord is requiring of us? What kind of obedience? Remember the words from 1 Samuel that obedience is better than sacrifice. So there was Saul, King Saul, saying, well, I'm giving sacrifices to the Lord and so on, but he was breaking God's law, disobeying what God said. And Samuel wisely says to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. This is a form of rebellion, which is worse than the sin of witchcraft. And so what kind of obedience? And let me put up a diagram here that will give us a sense of the kind of obedience that the Lord is speaking of here, or the way in which we're to fulfill our duties. So we're to obey the Lord. And what kind of obedience is that? It's first of all, universal obedience. And I'll come back to this. Secondly, it's perfect obedience. Thirdly, it is perpetual obedience. It's to be sincere. It's to be inward. And it is to be willing. All right, these are all features, if you will, of our duty as it belongs to God. So let's think about that. When we say universal obedience, it means not selective obedience. Well, maybe I will obey these things and not these other things. No, our whole person is required to be conformed to the whole will of God. It's to be perfect. So it is to be, what's required of us is not being graded on a curve, as it were. It's not like in horseshoes where you get points for being close to the post. No, the Lord says, this is my standard, my will, and you're required to obey it perfectly. You're also to do so perpetually. So not just sometimes on the Sabbath or when you're in a good mood or feel well, but it is to be perpetual. It is to be all the time. It's also to be sincere. So in other words, it's not to be hypocrisy, just faking, as it were, obedience in one way or another. It's to be inward, which means that our duty is to keep God's commandments, to conform ourselves to His will from the heart. So not just the outward going through the motions where we're able to check off, you know, some things off of our list, but it's to come from a heart that is obedient to Him. And that's connected to the last thing, which is it's to be willing. We're to be doing our duty willingly, not begrudgingly, not being forced to or manipulated to, but we're actually with the heart desiring to do it and being willing to offer our duty to the Lord. And children, you can connect this at a very simple level to your relationship to your parents. When your parents say to you, Johnny, go clean up your room, or Johnny, keep your room clean, it's not good enough if you merely do it a week later or only sometimes, right? It's not good enough if you keep your room clean on one day and then you don't keep it clean on six other days. It's not good enough if you do it but you have a bad attitude about it and you're dragging your feet and you're fussing and whining and complaining about it. You're not doing it from your heart. You're not actually submitting to your parents in love and a desire to honor them from your heart. The Christian is to have a disposition that says, I want to please the Lord. I want to glorify Him. I want to do what would honor Him. I'm grateful for all that He's done for me in the redemption that Christ has given, and I'm delighted to do what will seek to bring Him glory. So the Catechism's talking about God requiring of us obedience to His revealed will. Now this, of course, can only be accomplished through Christ alone. Right? Any obedience, even in the teeny, tiniest instance of obedience, is only possible through Christ alone. So we can't, you know, the Pharisees said, well, we understand we're to obey God's revealed will, but they didn't do it through Christ. They didn't do it as a result of faith. They didn't do it in love for the Lord. They were doing it merely as a formality. And therefore, they actually didn't do it. They didn't actually fulfill what God was requiring of them because it wasn't done through Christ. Now, notice that it says that our duty is obedience to God's revealed will. And so we're having a standard that's set before us. There is only one rule, or we could say standard, right? You think of a ruler, it's a standard of measurement that shows you how many inches or centimeters something is. God's given us one rule, and that rule is God's rule, God's standard. We'll just say God's rule. So we're not open to create our own rule, our own standard, our own ideas of what the Lord has required of us. We're to follow what He says. Now the question is, where is it revealed? It says it's His revealed will. So where is it revealed to us? How do we find this? We're required to do these duties, but how do we know what the duties are? Where can we discover them? And the answer is in, of course, as most of you will know, in Scripture. So Scripture alone provides us with that standard. That means no additions, right? And it means no subtractions. So no adding to God's Word and no subtracting from God's Word. We can't say that we have God's will given to us and now we're going to add some other things that we think would be helpful to supplement. Nor can we say, well, here's what God has required of us in the Bible, But there's some parts that we don't think are easy, or some parts that we don't think are important, and we're going to subtract those. No, we're to stick to Scripture alone. The last thing that we should see here is the significance of this word revealed, right? The Bible makes a difference between God's secret will and His revealed will. If you want to see one place that this is explained in the Bible, you can look at Deuteronomy 29:29. Another way of describing this is God's decree, which you learned about early in the catechism, over against God's precepts, what He's written or said. So there's a distinction here. We're talking about the reason it can be confusing is because the word will is being used in both cases, but we're actually talking about two different things. The secret things belong to the Lord. So God has decreed what's going to happen throughout history in all of its details. Well, who knows that? Well, God knows that. Okay, who else knows it? The answer is no one. No one but God knows. These things are secret to us, not secret to God. So we can't see them. We can't know them. We don't know exactly what God has decreed, what His secret will is in given circumstances, until, of course, it happens. So you know that God decreed for you to watch this catechism class because you're watching this catechism class, right? You can know after the fact what was secret. But when we talk about God's revealed will, we're talking about the Bible. We're talking about here is what God has given to us in the Scriptures that tell us His mind, that tell us what He wants and what He forbids, that tells us, you know, who He is and who He's not. His revealed will spells out for us exactly what our duties are, what we must obey or not. And so the Bible is the place that gives this to us. And so when the Catechism speaks about the duty that God has required, and that duty is obedience to His revealed will, the Catechism is actually drawing on very familiar theological language, language that's been used for a long time by the Lord's people in the study of His Word. They're highlighting the fact that we base what we do on what God has revealed to us. We base what we do on what God has given to us in the Scriptures themselves. And so a minister who's called by Christ to preach, what does he preach? He preaches the Bible. He preaches God's revealed will. And that might include, as we'll see in this section of the Catechism, explaining and expounding God's law. Here's what God requires of us in terms of the standards of right and wrong. Here's what shows us our sin. Here's what Christ has fulfilled in that law, and so on. But it will also include the exposition of the gospel. God's revealed that to us. It's not hidden from us. He's told us about sending Christ and His death on the cross and all that He's accomplished in the pardon and forgiveness of the sins of sinners. And so ministers preach that. They're preaching what God has shown us, what He's revealed to us in the Scriptures. A couple of questions ago, the answer ended with, as He, that is Christ, is freely offered to us in the gospel. And you may remember that I was actually making the same point in that case. I was saying the free offer of the gospel is merely taking God's revealed will. We don't know who's elect and who's not elect. That's secret. We don't know God's decree in with regards to election. We're taking rather the Bible, which is revealed, and we're expounding it. We're saying this is all that Christ is and what Christ has done. These are the promises, and all of this comes to you, and it's laid in your lap, and it's set before you, and Christ is freely offered to you in the proclamation of God's revealed will. Knowing, of course, that the elect, which is secret to the Lord, will alone be enabled by the Spirit to respond to that offer of the gospel in receiving Christ. So here, in this question, at the beginning of this now second major section of the Catechism, we have laid out for us that our duty fundamentally, at its most basic level, is obedience to what God has shown us. So the question and answer, put it succinctly, what is the duty which God requireth of man? The duty which God requireth of man is obedience to his revealed will.